will be manifested in our world. Lord God, we pray that peace will come to our nation and to the world, but especially to our nation. Lord God, we pray that love will overtake us all, regardless of our color, class, and creed, that love will overtake your people and that peace will come. Jesus Christ, you are the peacemaker. You are the one who came into the world and told us that your peace you give us, not as the world gives us, but your peace. And we should not let our hearts be troubled, and we should not be afraid, but our hearts are troubled these last weeks, Lord God. Have mercy. Have mercy, God, upon us. We are asking you, Lord Jesus, to be among us. You promised that you'll be us even until the end of the ages. And on this Trinity Sunday, we ask the divine triune unity to be with us in the United States of America. Lord God, Holy Jesus, Holy Spirit, be with your people and have mercy upon us this day. Let those of us who know you speak peace. Let those of us who know you do not buy into spreading evil and injustice on social media, but let us find a way to spread peace and love and hope. Because we are called to a higher ideal, let us live to that higher ideal, Lord Jesus. Let us find it in our hearts to love. Let us be an instrument of your peace. Holy God, have mercy. And take hold of me, the preacher, Lord God, and put me under submission to your will. And let me be an instrument of your peace. Let me be a vessel of your love. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, God Almighty. And help all of us. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, we certainly do need you. My sermon title today is Our Sovereign God. Our Sovereign God. When we are going through, we need to remember that God is sovereign. Let me begin with a writing from a reflection from Mother Teresa. And it's titled Something Beautiful for God. In 1969, Malcolm Muggeridge, a British journalist and editor of Punch, a satirical magazine, went to Calcutta to make a documentary movie about Mother Teresa for BBC. She didn't want to do it, but church leaders finally persuaded her. And when she finally agreed, she said, "Let me do something beautiful for God." When they began filming, a strange thing happened. Even though there was not enough light in the hospice for filming, the finished film was bathed in a particularly beautiful soft light. Muggeridge figured it was the halo of love he sensed there. Later, he wrote a book about Mother Teresa and used that phrase, "something beautiful for God," as the title. He eventually became a Christian as a result of that relationship. Something beautiful for God. Today, I want to do something beautiful for God. I want to talk about our sovereign God. Another brief reflection read, "In the beginning, God." On Christmas Day 1968, the three astronauts of Apollo 8 circled the dark side of the moon and headed for home. Suddenly, over the horizon of the moon rose the blue and white earth, garlanded by the glistening light of the sun against the black void of space. Those sophisticated men, trained in science and technology, did not utter Einstein's name. They did not even go to the poets and the lyricists or the dramatists. Only one thing could capture the awe-inspiring thrill of this magnificent observation. Billions heard the voice from the outer space as the astronaut read it. In the beginning, God. The only concept worthy enough to describe that unspeakable awe, unutterable in any other way. In the beginning, God. The invasive, the inescapable sense of the infinite and eternal. In the beginning, God. So my sermon today is our sovereign God, sovereign ruler, one possessing or held to possess supreme power or sovereignty. We can't even describe it. When you look in the dictionary to describe sovereign, it says one who is supreme. Then you have to look at the definition for supreme, you see, because we don't have words to define God's sovereignty, right? So you look at divine sovereignty and it says, one is sovereign, because it's so awesome, our God. Yes, friends, with the world, our world is in chaos now. Our nation is in turmoil. Our cities and suburbs are in conflict. But I would like to remind us today that God is sovereign. From beginning to end of Psalm 8, we see the sovereignty of God, and we will see something else. Psalm 8 addresses God directly. Despite this fact, It is ununanimously characterized as a praise or a hymn. And here it is on this day we're in. There is so much conflict in our nation this last week. We will be doing a hymn of song or praise unto our God because God is sovereign. We have to remember that God is sovereign. That's the only way we're going to come through this if we can believe and hold on to God being ruler of the universe. God being Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Right? All of that's happening in between is not a surprise for God. God has got an answer. God has got a divine plan. And yes, sometimes we have to suffer in between, but God, because God is sovereign, we could hold on and keep praying. Our God is sovereign. Perhaps we should call this psalm a prayer of praise. It begins and ends with the same exuberant affirmation. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Isn't that just awesome? That's all you have to say and then sit down. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God is majestic. This psalm is said to be divine majesty and human dignity. Because even in this psalm, even though the psalm is about God, David, it's a psalm of David, and David has gone through a lot of stuff. David has gone through a lot, and yet he would write this song of praise. But in it, we are included. God would remember his creation. A psalm of David, O Lord, our sovereign, our majestic is your name in all the earth. And here's the next verse. You have set your glory above the heavens. It's a reminder for us, right, that God has set his glory above the heavens. And then it says, out of the mouths and of babes and infants you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. And here the Lord is reminding us, even out of the very babies, the mouth of babies, the Lord will speak. The Lord will yet speak to the very children. The Lord will yet speak. He says, and the psalmist says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings? What are us? What are we? What are you? That you are mindful of them. Mortals, that you care about them. Do you understand? As David looks at the vastness, I thought about the NASA and the new thing going. What would we call it again? I forgot the name now. They gave it a new name that went out of space. You know what I'm saying? This new adventure that went out of space, right? Elon Musk spaceship and those astronauts who went out of space. And I could just imagine as they're circling. Right, circling, and Earth is just one of those, right, in the universe. We think we're all that. Can you imagine when they're there and look and see all the other galaxies, right, all the other places in that great universe that God has created. God Almighty, that human being cannot think. It says, yet God will consider us. One who established him. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, and mortals that you care about them? That God who would create everything would still care about us. And because of that, guess what? We have the hope that he cares so much about us, he's going to bring us through. God would not send Jesus to die for us to let us be completely destroyed until he's ready, Jesus is ready to return. He would think of us. He cares about us. God's sovereignty is clearly proclaimed, but it's crucial to know that God does what God does with God's power, that God shares it with us. As verse 6 says, you have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet. Who do you think he's talking about? Us. That God has given us dominion over the earth, just like it says in Genesis. That means we are part of God's plan, friends. Listen to me, all of you. We are part of God's plan to make it better. We are part of God's plan to make it better. I know we want God to step into our situation right now just like that and stop the rioting immediately and stop the fighting, whatever is going on immediately. But God gave us dominion. From Genesis we read it. That means we are part of God's plan. We have got to do something and do it right. This verse recalls Genesis 1, 26 to 28. That we have dominion with God. Why would God do that? Didn't God know that we were going to mess it up at some point? Why yet we have dominion? Changing this world and making it a better place is up to each and every one of us. And then he says, yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. We're a little bit lower than the angels. Crown us, crown us. God thought of us. He has made us a little bit lower than God and crowned us with glory. We are part of God's answer and God's solution. He says, you have given them dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under their feet. All the sheep and the oxen, all the animals of the earth, all the birds of the air, you, Lord God, has put in our responsibility. And you have put each other. We are what? We are supposed to take care of each other. Because God intended it to be so. The very air and the birds. And upon hearing the affirmation in verse 1 and 9, the second time, we know that God's majesty on the earth is intimately affected by the behavior of humankind. Now, I know that there are friends who do not believe, that there are folks who do not believe that you know, that the earth is in a little bit of mess, you know, with the ecology of the earth. That there is global warming going on and so on. Whether you believe or not, there's things happening in the earth that we are responsible to take care of. God gave us dominion to love each other as human beings, to treat each other well, but to also treat the earth well. This sovereign God gave us dominion over the earth. We are expected to do that. And we have not done such a good job. As I reflect on this, we have realized that increasingly over the past 50 years, we have been ruining the earth, humanity. And we need to do better. We have responsibility with our relationship with God. Friends, today, as we read, we realize that we, each and every one of us, have responsibility. None of us is exempt. As James Lindbergh puts it, Psalm 8 teaches us that the God-praising and the earth-caring community are one. That we praise God, but we must what? Take care of the earth. It's one. It's not separate. I know there are folks who just believe that it's just all we have got to do is come to church and pray and worship God, and that's all our job is. No. We should worship God, we should praise God, but we should take care of each other and take care of the earth. It is not mutually exclusive. It is together. That's what love demands of us. And so as I think about this these days, as I think about what is going on, I saw the Matthew text. I saw it and I thought, and I begin to think. One verse in that Matthew text, Jesus reminds us that no matter what goes on, no matter what is going on, he says, and remember, he says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. On this Trinity Sunday, we want to remember that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And then he says, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So no matter what we are going through, Jesus is here with us in the midst of this. So here comes my hope. Do you know why I have hope about what's going on? I'm saddened by it, but here's why I have hope. This Psalm 8 ties into Job. Job 38. Here's how I want you to be reminded that God is sovereign and that Jesus is with us. When Job and his friends were questioning God, right? When God allowed Job to ask the question, the Bible says the Lord speaks and he asks Job, he says, brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall assail me. And he's going to ask him the question, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Come on now, that's our sovereign God. That's why I have hope. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. That's what the scripture says. I love verse chapter 38 of Job, 38, 39. As God speaks, chapter 38 says, the Lord speaks. And he speaks to Job and he says, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. And when I'm feeling distressed, I go read that. Gee, God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? And then he says, who shut up the heavens? Who said to the water, this is as far as you will go and no further? Who did it but our sovereign God? Oh, you see, this is not a surprise for our sovereign God. None of this is. And so that's why we could trust and believe in church. We're going through difficult times, but we can yet trust God. God ask. So when I see things going on like this, I want to give you a word of hope. This is the same God who spoke to Job. Do you know, friends, I thought about it this morning. He said to Job, who flung the stars into the skies? Who flung them into the skies? And do you know that sun always come up? The sun always rise. And the star comes out at night. And the sun is going to rise in the east and sets. It's going to rise whether the east is in, it's at Asia at one point or over here at one point, in the west or the east. The sun always rises. Oh, glory to God. Stars come out at night and the moon shine at night because our God is sovereign. So all of this that humanity is doing cannot stop God. God is going to walk into our universe, walk again into our lives, walk again, and he will turn this evil that is permeating the world and our nation. He will yet turn it and use it for good to bring unity in this country, because our God is sovereign. He's sovereign, he's sovereign, and he's sovereign. He's the ruler of the universe. So friends, I'm telling you today, when the storms of life are raging, when the storms of life stand by him, the songwriter says, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by. When the world is tossing me. Does anybody feel like they're being tossed? When the world is tossing me like a ship upon a sea, thou rulest wind and water, stand by me. Oh, thou rulest wind and water, stand by me. Thou rulest humanity, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, oh, glory to God this morning, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. Don't you want him to stand by you this morning? When the host of hell assail, it is the host of hell that is assailing in our country, and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. Thou who never lost a battle. The God we serve, Hicksville United Methodist Church, my brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are watching, God has never lost a battle. Jesus has never lost a battle. The Holy Spirit has never lost a battle. So as long as we cry out to him and says, my God, do not forsake me, he will come true for us. He will stand by us. He'll stand by us. In the midst of all we are going through, God, who is sovereign, will stand by us. And so we can declare like the psalmist, O Lord, our sovereign, our magnificent, our excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. For the devil is a liar, you know, and we bind up the devil in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.